The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell.
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right. It's the Money Life Market Call. You know it. You wait for the whole show for us to be able to talk the market and the stocks and give you some specific names that you can think about. And today we're going to be doing that with Michelle Stevens. She is manager of the Baird Small Cap Value Fund, the ticker symbol BSVSX. Now, we've had Baird guests on the show before, and you might know that if you are looking to follow them on Twitter, it's at RW Baird. If you're looking for information on the funds, it's www.bairdfunds.com. Michelle Stevens, welcome to Money Life.
Hi, Chuck, and thanks for inviting me on.
Michelle joins us right now on the Hightower Hotline. If you've lost confidence in traditional brokerage and investment firms, it's time to learn about the Hightower difference. To find out more, go to HightowerAdvisors.com. Hightower is an SEC-registered investment advisor. All right, Michelle, we've got two things just that come right to mind, because we always talk first with our guests about their methodology and what they like. But before I even get to that, running a small cap value fund, well, there's plenty of value out there right now, but that also means there's plenty of value traps. And then there's the side that says everybody's been gravitating towards large cap, and it's been even tougher to find things that are really true values in small cap. Is that what you're finding, or is that just what outsiders like me and some of my guests seem to be thinking?
Well, Chuck, I will admit up front that I am biased to small cap value stocks, but I do think particularly right now they are more attractive than large caps. And I know that's counter to what some people are saying, but if you look at large caps, and yes, they are cheap on the surface in terms of price to earnings ratios and some other metrics, they're getting there in ways that maybe don't deserve a multiple. We've seen an awful lot of cost savings out of large companies. They've gotten a lot of earnings growth from things like currency translation. And the underlying revenue growth for many of those businesses is not all that inspiring. So what we like in the small cap universe is that you're getting a lot better organic revenue growth. And that's what counts when it comes to getting a multiple in this market. And the other element that we like is small caps are much more domestic focused. You've got about half the exposure to international revenue in domestic small cap stocks. So it's roughly 18% versus 35% for large cap. And in this market, we like that because we're not very bullish on growth prospects for the Eurozone or even some of the emerging markets like China, where we see downside risk.
Well, you know, some people would tell you that those things are great values right now. We do get all kinds on this show, and it's good to hear that contrarian opinion that small caps right now a good place to go, and a really good point to make about how much of the exposure is domestic, because we talk all the time about people saying, oh, well, I'll get my international exposure through large caps. Well, maybe you don't want any international exposure.
That's right.
Now we need to know how you do what you do, because before we can ever take a buy, sell, or hold recommendation, we need to know where it's coming from. And in the case of value, there's a lot of different value approaches. Which one do you follow?
There are. We like to think ours is a little bit different than all of the traditional styles that you might be familiar with. And I think one of the questions you like to ask is, what do you know that everyone else doesn't know, right? What we know is that you can't buy tomorrow's growth stocks at value prices today. So we have to look at the market in terms of forecasting and finding something that consensus hasn't built in already. We want to own stocks that look like growth companies after we own them for a year or two, but that the expectations weren't priced in, and so we were able to buy them at very low valuations. So we don't think value and growth are mutually exclusive. When you look at our portfolio, you'll see that it trades at a price-to-earnings ratio below our value benchmark, but we're getting really nice underlying organic growth in the companies that we own. And when the market wakes up and discovers that, after some earnings surprises and upward revisions, you get some multiple attached to that, and that allows you to hold on to your winners for a long time.
Does that make it so that certain sectors and businesses stand out to you, or is it simply a bottoms up, and then beyond just that broader picture, how do you overlay things like the economy?
Well, our approach combines both top-down macro themes with bottom-up stock selection. So because we're always looking for opportunities to invest at inflection points, we're looking for change, positive change that the market hasn't priced in yet. That can either happen within an industry or a sector where we have a contrary view and we can exploit that with multiple names in the portfolio, or sometimes it's something very company-specific that just helps us to gravitate to one individual name.
Let's put some of that into action. Let's start with what looks good now, and then we'll come back to the value traps.
Okay, so one great example of where we've uncovered a macro theme and we've been able to exploit that by owning multiple names in the portfolio is the idea of the upgrade of our electric grid here domestically. So if you think back to 07 or 08, there was an awful lot of rolling brownouts, and we were bumping up against capacity here domestically. And then with the credit crisis and the recession, that was tabled for a while. But now what you're seeing are electric utilities awarding large projects and bidding out upgrades to electric transmission systems. From 2006 to 2009, those kind of awards were less than $3 billion a year. Now we're looking at projections next year in 2014 of $15 billion and $29 billion. So when we see those kind of numbers, we get excited and start to look for companies that might benefit in that environment. Mm-hmm. And we've found some names like Valmont, for example, which makes the large engineered support structures to hold up transmission lines. Since we've owned that stock, you've seen the earnings estimates move up this year from $5.85 to $8.30, because the street just wasn't incorporating those new project awards in until they actually entered backlog. So that's a 42% increase in earnings estimates. And again, that was a surprise, if you will, to consensus. And again, that allows us to buy those kind of stocks, put them in the portfolio, and hold on to them because the multiple moves along with the earnings estimates and you get a nice total return.
Other standouts for you right now?
Well, we've got a couple names from a macro standpoint in the commercial aerospace sector as well. We're definitely in a secular bull market for airlines building new fuel-efficient planes, and that means companies that are leaders in lightweight composites like Hexcel are getting a lot more content into the new lines of aircraft like the Airbus A350 or the Boeing 787. Those designs have roughly 10 times the composite content as their last models. So you've got a secular trend toward lightweight composites, and then you've got about a 7-year backlog of planes that are slated for production in the coming years.
So Hexcel is ticker symbol HXL, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Now let's look at the other side of this. Where are you finding some things that maybe other people think are value by the way they define value that you're going, this is no bargain?
Well, from a very general sense, when we look at the economy, we really want to own businesses right now that are in as much of control of their own destiny as possible, because we've got some pretty punk domestic economic growth. So we don't like businesses where expectations are that we're going to get this strong tailwind from the macro economy. Things like home builders that keep running up and down on the expectation of an improvement in that market that we don't think is going to come to pass in the next 12 to 18 months.
So again, it's looking for those companies, businesses that are in control of their own destiny. And let me ask, is that more important to you with the small caps? I mean, is that one of those things where somehow you might be more willing to stomach this when you're dealing with large cap stocks, but in small caps, because so often there are large competitors and everything else, it's doubly important to you?
I think that's true. You really want to own small companies that are leaders in their market, because just so intensely competitive if they're up against the big boys in that space. Another name that we love in the portfolio is Ascena Retail, for example. And this is a great company that operates strip mall apparel stores. And they've really controlled their own destiny through the economic downturn by revamping their product mix to cater to a more value-conscious consumer. They've taken their cash, they've gone out and made acquisitions. They just made a wonderful acquisition of Charming Shops. Again, this is one of those surprises where the street hasn't built in the accretion from their acquisition yet. But if you run the numbers and you know what they've done historically, you know that's very capable of adding a quarter or so to earnings over the next year.
And the ticker
another
symbol,
example of where they really control their own destiny.
And the ticker symbol again was?
ASNA.
And that's Ascena Retail Group. Now we're going to put you to the test of our audience.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with Michelle Stevens. She is manager of the Baird Small Cap Value Fund. It is BSVSX. And if you want more information, go to BairdFunds.com. We're going to run her by five requests from our audience. If you wish we were talking about your favorite stocks, the only way we can do that is if you send us your requests, your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you are interested in, send them to me at Chuck@MoneyLifeShow.com. It can be stocks, funds, exchange-traded funds, closed-end funds. We'll put them on our list and run them by a guest, and hopefully they'll make it into an interview in the near future. Michelle, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're going to start with a request that we got. Well, I'll throw you the softball first, I suppose. Brad in Denver, and I just talked about people putting in requests. He is the most recent request I got, and here it is, the first interview done after I added it to the list. And he's getting off with KB Home, the ticker symbol KBH. And given what you said about home builders, while
there's no place like home,
I have a feeling we know where this is going.
That's right, Chuck. Well, hope springs eternal for KB Homes, which has been our poster child for what not to own in terms of quality. Once again, this year, everyone expected them to make money, but the estimates have come down enough that once again, they're going to lose a buck. I think this is 6 years running for KB Homes, a highly leveraged business, and with 6 million homes in default or underwater, we think next year's estimate for making money is probably optimistic again. So we would short KB Homes.
That wasn't just a sell. That was a short on KB Homes, ticker symbol KBH.
You're going to lose everything you have, and you're not going to have anybody give it back to you because it's a stupid move on your part.
Well, that's if you're holding it. If you're shorting it, hey, you may not lose everything you've got. You may make a lot there. Peter in Las Vegas wants to know about ShuffleMaster, SHFL.
ShuffleMaster in here is a buy, in our opinion. We like the company. They basically have a monopoly in card shufflers, and they've been returning to a lease-based revenue model. I think over 40% of their revenue is now recurring, and you've got a chance to buy it at a lower multiple because they had their COO depart and they canceled an acquisition, so the stock has come in quite a bit.
That would be a buy on ShuffleMaster, SHFL. And if you listen to this show regularly, you had to know I was going to use this.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Come on, they make shuffling machines. Next up, it's Tracy in Muncie, Indiana. She wants to know about ID Systems, the ticker symbol IDSY.
ID Systems is a sell. In my opinion, it's a value trap. Their product had difficulty gaining traction in terms of sales, and their largest customer has been the post office, which is not where you want to be doing most of your business. So given the fact that they don't have any debt, and I think over a buck in cash, I wouldn't short it, but it would definitely be a sell.
That was a sell on ID Systems, ticker symbol IDSY.
Just let it go, dude. Count your losses and move on.
Anthony in Morris Plains, New Jersey wants to know about Thermo Fisher Scientific. TMO is the ticker symbol.
We like Thermo. It's a life science tools company. It's a very defensive model. They have less European exposure. As you know, we're not too keen on right now than a lot of their competitors. And again, this is a business with very high recurring revenue. Roughly two-thirds of what they sell are consumables. Selling at 10 times next year's earnings looks pretty attractive in here to us, especially given the macroeconomic outlook.
That would be a buy on Thermo Fisher, TMO.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
And then Sean in Spokane, Washington wants to know about C-SPAN. SSW is the ticker.
C-SPAN, we would call a sell in here. Even though they've got very long-term contracts in the container ship business, these stocks tend to trade on the outlook for future contracts as they roll off. And there's a large supply of container ships that are coming onto the market. The market's oversupplied. And coupled with that, you've got a slowdown in global trade that we would expect to accelerate. With Europe as China's largest trading partner, we think there's just going to be less goods moving across the sea. And so I would not want to hold a container ship company in here.
That's a sell on C-SPAN Energy, SSW, the ticker.
Put that one on the psycho list.
And we're going to squeeze in one more for you. I know that you are from the Midwest. I believe you have a tie, although not necessarily to the individual, but to the town. Barry in Lima, Ohio, wants to know about Lin Energy, the ticker symbol LINE.
Well, we've got to answer the request from Lima, Ohio. That's a small town I came from. That's an MLP with a 7% yield, so looks good in here to us. It's hard to get that kind of a yield, and my understanding is they've got some hot prospects from the hog shooter out in the Oklahoma area, so I would put a buy on Lin Energy.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
That was a buy on Lin Energy, and unfortunately, it's time for us to say goodbye to Michelle Stevens. She is the manager of the Baird Small Cap Value Fund, the ticker symbol BSVSX. If you want more information, it is BairdFunds.com, and we, of course, will link that up to the MoneyLifeShow.com website. Michelle, this was great. I hope you'll come back and talk with us again.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Chuck.
There's a lot more of, well, there's only a little bit more of Money Life to lead, but you don't want to miss it because that would be like not crossing the finish line, and that's just never good. Money Life will be right back after these messages.